I'm really excited. This is going to be a good time. And I got to start off by saying that I think we just surpassed 200 episodes. So that's pretty awesome. And that's 200 straight Fridays with pretty much a new guest every week. That's pretty fun. That's cool for me. Never thought that would happen. That's pretty much, we're closing in on 4 years. I kind of thought this was going to end within like 2 months, but 4 years later, here we are. So I'm really stoked. And if you're listening and you're continuously listening, I thank you. And I'm really blessed. And this is awesome. Now, Kristen, I gotta start off the day by saying this. So we have Kristen Kelly in today. She has a new record out. It's awesome. We're going to talk all about it. It's going to be super cool. I got to start off by saying this. Today was a very interesting day for me. My entire body's in pain. Like I am in pain, and it's for the dumbest reason ever. And I'm going to tell you, it's ridiculous. So, I live in New Jersey, in Northern New Jersey. It's pretty cold out, right? I don't really work out all that much anymore. I was a big athlete growing up, and once that ship sailed and I was done. And, but I used to run a lot, and I still run when it's nice out. But, you know, I woke up this morning. I said, I'm going to go for a run in the morning. Right. So put my shoes on, go outside, put some layers on, go for a run. Was probably a mile away from my house. Wasn't paying attention. Someone's sidewalk was lifted up and I tripped over the sidewalk.
Oh,
now,
no.
Granted, you'd say that's not that bad, but for some reason I fell hard. Like, you can't tell, but I scraped up both my hands. I have a nice Band-Aid on my elbow because I'm bleeding on my elbow. And for some reason, I think I pulled a muscle next to my ribs, because every time I breathe in and breathe out, I have this good pain going on. And my knee's all bummed up. So I'm a mess today. I don't know what happened.
Oh, no.
You can laugh. It's okay. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely insane. It's I don't know. And I fell really hard and no cars drove by, which I consider a win because no one saw me fall. So no one has to know that I fell.
Whenever I fall, I always wish that somebody was there to experience it with me.
So you can laugh.
And laugh with me, you know, like after I get a good few choice words and maybe a good cry out of it. But ultimately, I end up laughing and wish that I would have had it on video.
Well, exactly. And I agree. And it's funny because I like turned over and I like sat up, and usually, like, you know, I don't have great balance, never have. So I've fallen a lot. I can trip over my own 2 feet, but for some reason, this one like was just a nice hard hit on some concrete. And I was like, oh, and I like had to like kind of catch my breath, had some choice words. And I was like, you know what? I'm kind of glad no one saw that, because I don't really want to talk to anyone right now. I'm like kind of in a bad mood. So I just turned around and walked all the way home.
Oh.
I didn't even run. I just turned around and walked home. I was like, screw that. It's enough activity for the day. I'm going home. That was done. That was it. And
I'm proud of
my
you
day
for
started.
Getting out there, you know.
Can't say I didn't try, right?
Yeah. Hey, that's the thing. You tried, and you should keep trying.
Yeah.
I was
Maybe
an
I'll
athlete
try
too.
Yeah?
I played volleyball and was really good at triple jump, and I thought I was actually going to be a volleyball coach.
Wow.
And I've tried to. I don't have the ups that I used to have, but I still try to stay active and healthy and
Yeah.
all that fun stuff. So
So
yeah.
what is a triple jump entail? Like, because I never did any track, so I understand what like the high jump is, and I get like, what is the long jump, but what is the triple jump?
Yeah, so long jump and triple jump are simple or similar, but you have more jumps in a triple jump. Like you run and you jump off of one foot and you land on that foot and then you jump to the other, and then your last jump is into the pit.
Into the sand, right?
If
That's
that
usually
makes
what it is.
sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
I say
So,
pit, sand,
yeah, well,
whatever.
right.
Either.
That's fair. Yeah. So
Yeah.
it's funny because, like, you know, I would watch, like, I had friends that did that stuff. And I'm like, because, like I said, my balance is horrible. So I never understood how someone could go from one foot to the other without touching the other foot on the ground. That just doesn't compute in my head, because I'm like a baby trying to learn how to walk when it comes to those things. So, like, that doesn't make any sense. But, like, I think it's really cool. I think it's really awesome. If you ever need to jump a fence, you'd be good to go. I couldn't, but you know, you'd be good to go. I love it.
I don't know. Like I said, my ups ain't like they used to be. So
fair enough. Fair enough. So, why don't we kind of backtrack a little bit and just kind of start it off by anyone who doesn't know you, kind of dive into how you found yourself in music and you're from Texas and that's a lot of your background and your whole story about moving to Nashville and just kind of the Spark Notes version, the short version. You don't have to go all into it, but the short version of how you found yourself in Nashville doing music.
Okay. Well, my name is Kristen Kelly. I'm from La Arena, Texas. And I played volleyball in school. Actually played Junior Olympic volleyball, had a scholarship to play volleyball, and was bartending my way through school. And we had a slow night at the bar where I worked, and we had karaoke, and I sang. And after I got done singing, there was a gentleman in the room that night, and he pulled me aside and he asked me to sing something a cappella. And I sang Complicated by Carolyn Don
Oh.
Johnson. And he asked me if I wanted to be in a band. And I looked around and was like, is this a joke? You know, because where I'm from, I don't know. I didn't expect that question at all. And that started my 3-year stint in a classic rock cover band called Big Dave and the Freaks. And I am a sexual abuse survivor, and I wrote poetry to process what I was told I couldn't talk about, and that nobody would believe me if I did talk about it. And whenever I started singing in this classic rock cover band, I was surrounded by a bunch of musicians and writers, and they made me feel comfortable enough to start processing some of that stuff. And so that poetry later became lyrical
Wow.
content for songs. And I just started diving more and more into songwriting. And I actually co-wrote a song called Down in Flames with Brandon Jenkins and Stoney LaRue.
Yeah.
And a couple of months after we wrote it in May of 2004. The band that I was in, Big Dave and the Freaks, we had played the Bruce Valetti Mayfest in Bruce Valetti, Texas, which is a town that's just south of where I'm from. And Brandon and Stoney had opened up for us that night acoustic, which is crazy.
Yeah,
And
sounds.
after the show, we wrote that song at a friend's property, watching a big bonfire burn. And it became the title track for Brandon's album. And then Stoney ended up recording it on the Red Dirt album and the Live at Billy Bob's album. And after starting my stint in a 3-year, 3-year stint in a classic rock cover band, I discovered the commercial music program at McLennan Community College in Waco. My sister was in school there for the music program, and so I ended up switching schools and switching majors. I was just a regular business major, and I ended up switching to a vocal performance major and entering the music program there at MCC. And halfway through the program, I thought, how many artists go to school for music? If this is something that I'm really going to pursue, then I would like to go, for the business side of things as well. And so I ended up getting a commercial music management degree. And while I was in school at MCC, there was a guy by the name of Joe Churchill, and he was in the program as well and asked me to sing harmony on some of his stuff. And I did, and then we ended up recording some of my stuff, and he sang harmony, and we became a duo, and then later put together a full band. And we did really well in Texas, and then unfortunately he had a family member get sick, and so he moved back home to South Texas, and I continued. We were called the Modern Day Drifters, and I continued as Kristen Kelly and the Modern Day Drifters. And fast forward to 2010, I was playing Dierks Bentley's Miles and Music at Billy Bob's in Fort Worth, and Paul Overstreet was on the road with Roger Krager, who's another Texas artist. And Paul heard me perform that day and approached me backstage and invited me to Nashville to write with him. And so I came out here and started writing with him, and it was through him that I met a bunch of publishers and managers and label folks and industry folks. And in October of 2010, a bunch of those people ended up flying to Texas to see me headline at Billy Bob's. And 2 months later, I ended up getting a phone call and offered a multi-album record deal with Sony. And I signed April 22nd, 2011.
Wow.
And we went into the studio and started recording. And my lead off single was X Old Man, and it became my first top 30 single at country radio. And here we are, fast forward.
What a story, right? That's what I wanted to get
it's
all.
Crazy.
I wanted you to get all that in, because I actually didn't know a lot of that, but I knew some of it, and I knew that you would talk about some of it, right? So I was like, oh man, like her story's so crazy. Because so let's just back it up just a little bit. So when you're bartending, right, do you have any idea like you want to go and do music, or is this like just something you do for fun? Because like I feel like when someone puts you on the spot to sing, it's like, and if Big Dave comes to you and says you want to be in a band, you're surprised, right? I'm assuming Big Dave is an actual person named Dave, right? A big guy named Dave.
Yes, yeah. His
I
name
hope so,
is
right?
David Griffin, and he's really tall. We were called Big Dave and the Freaks, and I am definitely not Big Dave. But yeah, it's crazy. I grew up singing in church. I sang at church camp. I was in choir in school. I always loved music. My sister, Kimberly Kelly, our grandfather, Sterling Kelly, he had a band, and it was Sterling Kelly and the Hearts. And we have 45s of him and his band.
So
And,
cool.
our dad played bass, and we have twin uncles, and one of them played guitar and one of them played drums. And so we were around music growing up, but it was never anything that was forced upon us, and definitely nothing that I ever dreamt of doing professionally or
Yeah.
seriously. I didn't even, this is funny. I learned to play my song X Old Man by watching somebody else play it on the
Wow.
YouTube. it's so crazy because, you know, like I said, I thought I was going to be a volleyball coach,
Yeah.
and I was a cheerleader, and I thought I was going to be the volleyball coach. And then the woman who is like the lady that manages the cheerleading squad, you know, and that's what I thought I was going to do.
Yeah.
The good Lord had other plans, and here I am in Nashville, Tennessee, and I've been here since 2010.
Yeah. That's
And
crazy, just because I feel like sometimes, right, like people that get into music and do it full time as a career, like that's all they've ever wanted to do. And it's so cool that you had these other ideas, right? Your sister, the same thing. Like you mentioned, Kimberly Kelly's your sister. You know, I've become friendly with Kimberly over the last couple of years. She's hilarious. You guys, it's so funny. But anyway, like she had a life plan too that didn't necessarily involve music. She has a degree, right? Like, so it's so cool that you guys like had other ideas, and it just so happened that you're both incredibly talented and said, okay,
Thank you.
let's do it. You know what I mean? And also I'd like to add this too. Like, I love that you guys kind of did it together, right? Like when you moved to Nashville, she kind of went with you, and you guys stayed together, and you did your thing and she did her thing, and you did things together. And I just think that it's really cool that there's a whole family dynamic to it. Cause I'm a twin brother, right? I have a younger sister, but I'm a twin brother. And, you know, I've talked about moving to Nashville eventually, and he's like, yeah, me too, honestly. And like, I think that that's cool,
y'all should.
but we're not musically talented. We just like the city and we want to go, you know what I mean?
That's okay. That's okay. There's room for everybody
that's right.
And everything, you know?
Yeah. So I think that that's really cool. And the fact that you guys were able to stay together and do those things together, I think is really important. There's something to be said about that. So that's awesome.
I was really grateful after signing my record deal and then finding out that I was going to go out on the Paisley tour for a greater part of 2012. And I was putting the band together, and I was like, can I have my sister come sing harmony?
Yeah.
And it was so much fun to have her out on the road with me. And, you know, because I've been one girl in a van with at least five guys for at least the last 20 years of my life, which I'm not complaining. I'm not a very girly girl. I like to spend a lot of time outdoors, and In my downtime, I like to build things and fix things. Like take things.
Sure.
My mom and my sister all my life, they were like, let's wait until Kristen gets home and she can fix this or
I
she can
love
put
it.
this together.
I love it.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun to have her on the road with me. And then when she moved to Nashville full time as well, and to watch her career blossom and her get the recognition that she so rightly deserves, it's really cool and really awesome.
Is it cool to be able to, or maybe is it difficult to be able to separate the family from the music? Or do you purposely not want to do that just based on, whatever else? Like it's, if it's a passion for both of you, then you don't necessarily have to separate it. But is it sometimes nice to say, like, today we're just going to be sisters and go screw around?
I mean, I don't think that there's ever really a need to separate it. I think things just naturally flow. Like we get
Sure.
together and we hang out and we don't necessarily talk about music, you
I
know?
love
It's
it. Nice.
and then when we do, we do. But it's really cool to celebrate each other's successes
That is
together.
cool. Yeah.
Because not a lot of people get to experience that, you know? And another thing that's really cool and that I'm really grateful for is that we were raised by two very supportive parents. You know,
That's awesome.
mom is always sending daily affirmations and telling us to keep going.
Yeah.
And you know, every time I would talk to my dad, he would always say, you know, give them hell
Yeah.
and you keep writing because you never know when you're going to write the song that's just going to change everything for you. And it's not lost on me that unfortunately not a lot of people get that kind of support
Sure.
growing up, regardless of whatever it is that they do. It doesn't just have to be music.
Yeah, I agree. And that's part of the reason why I think I love it so much. Like from the outside, like from my personal experiences, my parents are very supportive too. They're like, go do whatever you want to do, right? Like, don't stop now. You're young. Do it now while you can, or like whatever they might say, right? Like, my mom always tells me, do whatever's gonna make you happy, right? And like that resonates because some people don't get that, right? Like some people don't get to be able to told whatever's going to make you happy, who cares about what it gets you, right? As long as you're happy every single day, who gives a crap, right? So, you got to do what you got to do. You got to pay your bills. You got to do all this stuff. But as long as you're happy, whatever, it doesn't matter. So, I love that. I really do. I think that's amazing. And it's just, re it's really cool to see. So, I love all that. I think it's awesome. Now, let's talk about, because I really want to talk about this project, but I feel like we need to talk about what leads up to this project, right? So you put out X Old Man and you do those songs and you go on tour, right? And you have this deal going. Does it seem like to you that it happened so fast, or does it seem like, wow, I worked so hard and now I'm here? But at some, like if you look at the timeline, that was a very quick amount of time, but there was a lot that was in between that short amount of time, right? So like, does it happen really fast for you, or do you get adjusted really quickly? Like, how does that all work?
Are you talking about the process
In
of
terms of
moving?
like, by the time you join that band, right? Like from the bar you're working at to the record deal and putting out a single and like going through that whole process, it was a fairly shorter amount of time, I guess, right? Like it was what, 6 years, something like that, right?
No, so I started singing in the classic rock cover band in 2003,
Okay, so yeah.
and then I graduated with my music degree in 2006. And actually, was it 2003? It was around that time.
Sure.
But I graduated with my commercial music management degree in 2006. And so from 2006 to roughly 2008, we were the Modern Day Drifters. And then from 2008 to 2000,
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense.
It was Kristen Kelly and the Modern Day Drifters, and then I signed my record deal in
Right.
2011. We released the
Sounds
single
wild.
in April of 2012, and then in October of 2012, they released the 4-song EP, which has "Drink Myself Out of Love with You," "X Old Man," "He Loves to Make Me Cry," and "Miss Me" on it. And we had actually recorded an 11-song album, and they only released that 4-song EP. And then we had the single X Old Man, and then we singled He Loves to Make Me Cry. And we singled that one in
Great
2013. And I think it got to like 55 or something on the charts. It was a song that folks really responded to and
song. I love it. Yeah.
Loved and requested. It just didn't really track at radio at the time,
Sure.
which is okay. It happens, you know.
Yeah.
And so they said, the label said, we don't want to push anything else off of this EP or the album. We're going to move to the next album. And they sent me into the studio with Dave Cobb, and we recorded You Put the Hurt on Me and Soul Shine. And we turned those in, and they said, these are great, but they're not singles, which was really confusing, because it was like, we were told to go in and see how we work together. And if things were good, then we would make the next album. And there was a lot of turnover at the label. And we were talking about moving forward with the next album. And there were some things contractually that we didn't see eye to eye on.
Sure. Yeah.
And me having a commercial music management degree, I redlined my contract whenever I first signed it. And my attorney was like, who are you? So there were some things that we just couldn't come together on.
Yeah.
And so we amicably parted ways. And I went on to record my Fire EP and released that in 2015. And I ended up getting married, and I was in a very unhealthy marriage, unfortunately, with an alcoholic. And I ended up filing for divorce in 2019. And in 2020, I started getting back to not working four jobs,
sure,
and being able to spend time on my music again.
Yeah.
And so I started releasing new music again, and all of the music that had been recorded whenever I was signed at Sony had been sitting there, and I've always wanted to do something with it. I just didn't know how or when or what that was going to look like. And so I reached out to the label last fall, because I'm out of the physical CDs of the Kristen Kelly EP. And I wanted to get more of those. And I also inquired about possibly being able to release the unreleased material. And I was told that I could license it for physical, which would be vinyl and CD, but
sure.
I could not release it digitally. Which,
why is that?
In today's age, in my opinion, it didn't really make sense for me to have this body of work on a vinyl and a CD, and that be the only way that people could get it. And I said, okay, well, you know, what can we do to get it digitally released? And the label said, well, we would have to do that, and it would have to be scheduled. And so I said, okay, well, who do I need to talk to about possibly scheduling this? And I got connected with Tim Smith, who's the director of A&R at Legacy Recordings, which is the catalog division of Sony. And we had a phone call on December 1st of last year. And Tim was super positive about everything. And I just am so grateful.
Yeah.
And we started working together on getting the music ready. And we ended up, they took the four songs that were released and they remastered those along in the mastering process of the unreleased material. So and then we set a release date, and I approved the masters on January 29th. And you know, all of this, I knew that this was going to be happening, but I couldn't talk about it.
Sure.
And I was told, you know, that the promotion of this would be 100% my responsibility. And I was given permission to start promoting on February 8th.
Wow.
And then on February 11th, good old Meta started censoring me. So I started, my stuff started getting muted, blocked, and deleted, and I'm still dealing with that.
Right, I saw that. It's terrible.
And I've been talking to the label about it as well, because they were like, this should not be happening. If it persists, let us know. So I have sent all the information to them that I know to, you know, send to them. And so we're working on it. But I'm just so grateful that the music is out.
Yeah.
That's a huge blessing.
And
that
the
it's
streaming
not
numbers
just,
are great, right? Like, it's doing
it's
great.
insane. It's insane. Like,
I mean,
we've
not,
been
I
playing.
say that as, I'm sorry, I say that as like, I think it should be doing great, but to see it do great, like, is awesome, especially with the amount of time that you had to get it all set up and put it all out. So.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, there essentially has been zero promotion
Right.
On this project. And what little I have been able to do, I've had the forces that be
The metaphors
try to
is
suppress it, you
yeah,
know.
which is
But
terrible.
I'm not giving up.
Yeah.
I'm still pushing forward, you know.
Well, I want to tell you that, like, I think that this whole thing, and I actually had not a clue in the world. I knew that I knew that it was released independently, but I didn't understand how the Sony thing kind of went in there. And so, like, I'm glad you told me that, because I wouldn't have known that. But I am amazed on the amount of time before you approved it and it got put out, and to see what it's done. That being said, I'm not surprised at all, because your voice is insane. Like, I listened to this album and I literally texted your sister and I said, please, for the love of God, like, tell your sister that I love this project, because I listened to the whole thing and I was like, there's not one song that, like, I love every single song, and I wish I could talk about all 13 songs every single day, because I think it's amazing. I truly do. And I'm
Thank
so
you.
glad that it's out. I really am so glad that it's
I
out.
am too.
I bet.
I am too.
Truly. It really is amazing. And I think that shows just, I mean, one, how mega talented you are, but also, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in that amount of time before, from when, you know, you signed the deal and then in the middle and then, you know, putting it out, and to have it out for you has to be just a lift of weight, just straight off your shoulders. I mean, there's a lot going on in those middle years. I'm sorry. I can see your emotion,
Oh
but there's
no,
a
it's
lot going
okay.
on,
It's okay.
and I love it. And I wish every single person got the chance to hear music like this. I really do.
Thank
Incredible.
you.
Amazing.
It's been overwhelming, you know,
Yeah.
in the best way possible, because the rest of the story behind Ex Old Man, you know, in How Do You Sleep at Night, is available for the world. And, you know, all of this music that I poured my heart and my soul into is no longer lost somewhere sitting on a shelf. It's out, you know,
Yeah.
to have its own life. And so there has been a lot of happy tears that have been shed. I was in San Diego for a private show on Thursday the 15th, and I flew back to Nashville on the 16th, the morning of the 16th. And I'm sure the people sitting next to me thought I was crazy, because I was bawling my eyes out and laughing and crying, and because it's just, again, you know, you pour your heart and your soul into your art, and
Yeah.
to see it finally have its time, you
Yeah.
know, is a huge blessing. And then
Yeah.
the fact that it's been floating around the top 200 albums on the iTunes country chart, you know, it's just, it's overwhelmingly beautiful.
Really is 4 million streams in what, like a week, right? Wasn't it something like that? Something ridiculous.
There's over 4 million streams on the album, and what we're trying to figure out, I don't know if the streams from the EP having been released are being counted in this, but the thing of it is, it's like it's registered as a whole new body of work, and
Right.
these are new masters. But again, the fact that it's doing well, and we had very limited time
Amazing.
to promote it. I'm just grateful. That's all Jesus. Hats off
That's
for
right.
Jesus, you know?
Amen. That's right. You are a testament to every 18, 19, 20-year-old kid that I've met over the last 4 years that say, you know, it's just hard because I want to put a song out and I spend all this time promoting it and it does nothing. Right. And sometimes I say, well, one, then nothing, you think it means nothing, but to those 300 people, that means a lot. Some of those songs mean a lot. Right. And so you should keep doing that. But also, you never know. You never know. It does not matter. Put the music out the way you want to put the music out, how you want to put it out. If that takes months to promote it and you put it out, if you say, you know what, screw it, I'm just going to drop it all at once. I told God to do that once. And granted, you know, he couldn't do that, but he wanted to, he really wanted to, and he wasn't allowed to, but I was like, just drop the whole thing at once. He's got a whole album, right? And he's like, I'm just going to do it. I was like, you should. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think that if it resonates with people, no matter what, it will get legs and it will walk and it will run.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's amazing. So I want to talk about some of these songs and I want to talk about, you know, what you love and, you know, some of the ones that I love too. I know, you know, I love Feeling Nothing. That's one of my favorites. I mean, there's so many on here that I love so much, but you know, when you look at these songs, I'm not going to ask you to pick your favorite one, but you can, if you want.
So Feeling Nothing, funny that you say that, and thank you so much for highlighting that, on your post. That song is the first song that I ever wrote with Paul Overstreet. And my first ex-husband, which Ex-Old Man is about, he and I were from the same small town. And so when we got divorced, naturally, I would have to run into him.
Yes.
And a little part of me would fall apart all over again. And finally, I ran into him and I felt nothing. And I thought, wow, this feels really good.
Yeah.
Where has this feeling been?
Yeah.
You know, why couldn't I have felt this a long time ago?
Yeah.
But I had the lines, "There stands a man I used to love, his hands my skin that I used to touch," and some other stuff. And I was really intimidated to, you know, be invited to write with Paul Overstreet. I mean, he co-wrote When You Say Nothing at All,
oh,
and
yeah.
Digging Up Bones, and On the Other Hand, and it's just
It's a
he's a
legend.
giant, you
Yeah.
know. And so I was humbled and honored to be able to step into a room to write with him. And so I thought, okay, I gotta take this in. And
Yeah.
As I was explaining to him, you know, how I felt, and told him those lines, he picked up the guitar, and it's crazy how you can have an idea that you feel like you just happened to be in the room when the good Lord laid it all out, you know? And that's how I felt about that song. And it's actually the first song that we recorded for this album. And so again, to see it finally have its day on this album being out, it's very full circle.
Yeah.
And I'm just grateful. And that's one that a lot of people have been asking for me to release for a really long time. And I recorded an acoustic version of it on my Something We're Saying Part 2 project, but to have the full band version that was originally recorded, you know, be available for everybody, it's really awesome. And
So I think that there's something to be said. So I've always been I am in love with the art of songwriting. I love songwriters. I love how songwriters approach music and how they write music. And maybe that's because I don't really, like, my brain's not wired that way. So maybe I just I appreciate listening to a story and really feeling it from the person that's singing it, right? And some of my favorite songs are songwriter cuts, right? Like when people go ahead and release cuts of their songs that are recorded by someone else that were mega hits. And sometimes I feel a certain way about that songwriter cut because I know that it's coming from a really authentic place. And I'm going to go ahead and assume that that's why I felt that way about, you know, a lot of these songs, right? And I think that there really is something to be said about someone who's telling their story through their music. You mentioned you were a poet, right? And I think that that's amazing that you were writing these poems down, you turned them into songs, and you turned real life stories, some very, maybe very negative, and then maybe there's maybe some beautifulness in there as well, right? And just made them yourself, right? How amazing is that? Like, I think it's fantastic, right? So, I don't know. I love it. Like, I really think it's, there's something really beautiful about music and music that can talk to someone. You know, I'm from Northern New Jersey. We didn't grow up the same way. I understand that. But the relatability I get to some of these songs is just, it's amazing. That's all I can say. I'm just saying that I think that you as a songwriter and the fact that, you know, you get to write with guys like Paul, and then there's a list of many others, right? But like, you know, and the fact that I just call him Paul, like I'm friends with him, is insane. I just want my name. But
you're good.
I should use first and last names. But the fact that you get to, you know, write with people like that and tell your story and get that out there, I think it's wonderful. So,
thank you.
Yeah. So, that's what I wanted to say about that. I love this project. If you're listening right now and you have not listened to this yet, one, there's still a lot of room on the train. Come and join the train, the Kristen Kelly train, because this is fantastic, truly. And you're going to find something you like if you're into more traditional country music, even if, like, I know I said this on my post and maybe you disagree with this or not, but I really feel that there's a lot of blues influence in that, or like a Southern rock type deal. Is that true or no? Or am I just making that up?
In the album?
Yeah. Or in your music taste as well. And just,
oh, yes. Jazz. Yes. Yeah. I grew up in love with country music. My dad played a lot of classic rock music around the house, and I was heavily influenced by that. And I fell in love with the blues somewhere along the way. And I feel like all of that does come out stylistically in my music. I mean, being able to work with folks like Brandi Clark and Shane McAnally on How Do You Sleep at Night, which is the untold follow-up question to the ex-best girlfriend from my Billboard Top 30 ex-old man. You know, that's, I'm just grateful that all this music is out and finally getting to be heard and take on a life of its own.
Can I ask you a question? When you work with people like that, do you ask, like, do you want to hear stories? Because for me, when I meet, like, I have not, but if I was to meet like some of my heroes, I would have to ask questions. Like, I get so giddy even sitting here with you. Like, I want to know so many things, right? And it's just like, I would have to ask, like, do you ask any stories to guys like that when you sit in rooms with them? Or do you just treat them like your friends, which very might, well, might be the case.
I mean, yeah, you ask questions, and songwriting has always been a very therapeutic process for me. I have a hard time writing something that I haven't lived or I can't personally relate to. And I say that because I feel like I would be doing a disservice to the song and the art if I was trying to sell, like, and I say sell, but like, I just have a hard time performing and saying something as a songwriter.
Absolutely.
That I don't,
you don't
know anything about, you know,
right.
Like I can't relate to. You get into a room with these people and you just kind of start kicking around ideas. And when you find one that everybody kind of gravitates toward, then the stories just kind of happen on their own, if you will. Because everybody puts, you know, their stamp on it and their perspective on it. And a really cool thing about How Do You Sleep at Night is that I wrote it with Brandi Clark and Shane McAnally, and that's actually Shane singing the harmony
Is
on
that
the
really?
album. Yep, it sure
Wow.
is. Yeah,
No
I'll
way.
never forget calling him and saying, "Hey Shane, would you be so kind as to come sing harmony on this project?" And he's like, "Oh my gosh!" And I believe it was the first time that he ever got to work with Tony Brown,
Wow.
which Tony Brown, he's a legend. I mean, he played
Legend.
piano with Elvis,
Yeah.
and the stories that that man has to share and tell, and he's produced George Strait and
Oh my God.
Reba, and I the thing about this music being out for me, it's not just because I didn't write every album, I mean every song on the album,
Sure.
so it's not just exciting for me as a songwriter, it's exciting for me as an artist, for the folks who wrote songs that I recorded, like Matresa Berg, How
Yeah.
Leavin' Feel. I will never forget the first time I heard that song, and I was like, oh man, because I was in a marriage that was rough, and I remember thinking, yeah, I would love to know how leaving feels,
Yeah.
but I didn't have the guts to stand up for myself and make that move until a little while later, but it's exciting because I couldn't recreate this body of work if
Yeah.
I tried. The stuff that I recorded with Dave Cobb, You Put the Hurt on Me and Soulshine, that's got Robbie Turner on steel guitar. And Robbie Turner was Waylon's right-hand
That's
man.
right.
And
That's right.
he is very instrumental in part of Chris Stapleton's career.
Yeah.
And unfortunately he was in a car accident in 2018 and he's still with us. He just isn't playing pedal steel guitar anymore because he doesn't have full use of his legs like he used to. So he plays bass guitar. So there's no way that I could have recreated this art
Yeah.
if I tried. And I didn't want to because this music was recorded in 2011, 12, and 13. And I can stand here today wholeheartedly and say, I am grateful that this body of work is out and available to everybody. It's not something that, it's not a situation where it's like, oh, we recorded that, but I don't ever want that to see the light of day. I'm
Yeah.
grateful, I'm so grateful because I feel like you couldn't recreate the magic that happened.
No.
And Let It Break Your Heart is a song that Kacey Musgraves and Kip Moore wrote.
Yep.
And I messaged Kip the other day and I said, hey, dude, I was like, you're never going to believe it, but this album is finally going to see the light of day. And he was so kind and he was like, I can tell you exactly where I was mentally that day when I wrote it. And he's like, thank you for recording it. And it's just so cool, again, to say that it's finally available
It's so amazing. It
take on a
really
life of
is.
its own.
Yeah, it really is so amazing. And the one thing that's sticking out in my head as we're talking about this is you mentioned the fact that you couldn't do it now. Like it's been 10 years since it's all been recorded and you couldn't do it now, right? And I think a lot of that is in today's day and age in 2024, there's a lot of people that are getting up there on Pro Tools and meshing with this and messing with that and changing this and that and adding this and whatever and adding a snap track in whatever they might be adding in. The coolest part about this project is that all of these play like you got to think about if you go through the credits, right? And you look at, the composers and the lyricists and all this stuff. I mean, they're all legends and incredible and it's just you're basically making a super team for a project. And that's probably the coolest thing for me. And listen, like maybe that's just really cool for me. And to the next guy down the street is not as cool. But like I look at this stuff and I go, oh, like who wrote this song? I'm like, oh my gosh. Or who played on this song or who produced it? Right. And it's amazing. It's so amazing for me. And I remember going through it and listening to the whole thing. And I click on each song and I'll just smile. Like, how can you not? Right. And as a music fan, like as a country music fan, I love country music more than anything in this world. And I look at this stuff and I get the biggest grin, right? The biggest grin. My face will get stuck. Like my mom told me, don't smile too much. Your face will get stuck. would literally get stuck watching this, right? Or let's listen to this. So I just think it's so cool. I'm so happy for you. So happy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Unbelievably happy. Amazing. Hey, I got to ask you, I wanted to ask you this before, but I forgot. So during the time where, and I don't mean this in any negative way, but during the time where you parted ways from your record deal and you're kind of in between there trying to figure out what your next plan was any part of you thinking, oh, maybe I should just go down the business side of things. I had the degree. I love the music and maybe I should use that as a direction. Was that ever going through your head or was it all just, you know, we're going to figure it out?
I think it's always been, I feel called to do this, you know? And I feel like if it's being a mentor for others, because there are some of my friends who have had some very significant things in their careers happen. Like one friend in particular, I remember when his music started taking off and you know, he had a lot of labels interested and he called me and was like, hey, can I pick your brain on some things? And I don't know everything, but I felt honored and humbled, you know, that this person thought enough of me and what I have experienced to even make that call. And I feel like there's room for everybody. And that it's a good thing to always keep that front and center. Because I feel like when you celebrate others' success, you receive as well. You know, it's kind of like the, when you give, you receive, you know, mentality. I'm always here to be an ear to listen. I'm also always here to be a wealth of knowledge in whatever way I can be. But again, I am by no means an expert at any of this. And I'm not saying that a path in the business side of things wouldn't be something that I would look into. But I just feel like being a writer and an artist is still part of what I'm supposed to be doing. There have been times where I have, you know, prayed about it and been like, hey, am I doing something? Is there something that I should be doing that I'm not doing? You know, I've always prayed for that guidance. I've also always prayed to be a vessel. And for the Lord's will to be done in my life, whatever that looks like. And when it comes to music and being creative, I can't not do it, if that makes sense.
100%. 100%. I think that that's great. And I love that you are a mentor of sorts for others that are trying to, you know, figure out what's right for them. And to have that knowledge is incredibly valuable, to be able to look at contracts and say, whether they be your own or someone else, and be like, huh, I don't know. Or like, you know, whatever that might be, just to have that in the back of your head. Like, I think that that's amazing. And to be able to tell yourself and say, you know what, I still know what I want. I still know what I want to chase. That's all that matters, right? Like we said, whatever makes you happy. I think that's fantastic. And thank God you did, because, you know, if one day you woke up and said, oh, I don't know, then, you know, we'd be a lot less happy. Let's put it that way. So I love it.
I've done anything and everything. Like, I've scrubbed toilets. I've drove people around in Uber and Lyft. And I was a substitute teacher. I've bartended. I've waited tables.
Did you wear that hat as a substitute? Because I feel like that would make you the coolest substitute ever.
I just got this hat.
I love it.
I went into, my birthday was on Tuesday, and
happy birthday.
Cameron Morris, Standard Hat Works out of Waco, Texas. I have a couple of his hats, and I love them. And they just opened their shop here in Nashville.
That's so
and
cool.
so my mom and my stepdad and my husband and I, we all went in to congratulate him and say hey, and I took him a photo of the cover of my Warrior album because I'm wearing one of my Standard hats.
That's awesome.
And so we were in there, and he was like, he took my hat and he was cleaning it, you know, and he was like, walk around and take a look, and everything they have is beautiful.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of standing there, and we were talking, and he pulled this hat off of the, you know, display where it was, and he was like, try this on.
Wow.
And so I tried it on, and he was like, I thought that might be your size. And he's
Yeah.
like, happy birthday and congratulations on your Warrior album. And he said, you know, thank you for being, thank you for always representing the brand and being an ambassador for Standard Hat Works. And good thing I brought my makeup with me that day,
Yeah,
because
right.
yeah, that's really,
That's amazing.
really
Well, it's a beautiful
humbling
hat.
thing.
And
Thank you.
it's
Thank you.
cool. It's
Standard
cool.
Hat
Like
Works.
it's all about who you know, right? Like it's cool to just like know people that you've known for years and to see them grow and prosper. Like we were talking about celebrating people's growth, right? And having
Yes.
friends, you could celebrate them and they'll celebrate you. And I think that that's all awesome. You know, we're all here to help each other and to love each other. And I think it's amazing that, you know, you get to celebrate friends and they get to celebrate you. And I think that's just so cool. So, I love it. But, hey, let me, we were talking about the fact that, you know, originally it was the project was going to be for hard copy only, and then obviously we figured that all out, but is it going to be out on vinyl or CD?
Yes. I actually have pre-sale for vinyl available on my
Awesome.
website and CDs available on my website
I
right
will be
now.
buying. I have a vinyl problem.
yeah. And so my husband, he's amazing, and I strive every day to deserve him, and oftentimes I fall short. I'm well aware. But he made a bunch of new t-shirts and koozies and hats. And I'm in the process of getting all of that up. Some of it's up on the website, but I don't have the photos of everything. So I'm working to get that all together. But yes, we do have pre-sale for vinyl
Awesome.
and CD available right now,
Amazing.
on my website. And yeah, you can get it digitally on Amazon and Spotify and iTunes and Apple Music.
Share
And
it
you
with
can listen
everyone
to
you
it on
know. Make
YouTube.
sure to
Yes,
share it with your
please.
friends. Share it with your
Please.
grandma. Share it with your dog. It's just so great. Truly, it really is. If you know someone that's a music fan that appreciates really good music, really good instruments, and one hell of a voice, Warrior is truly the project for you. I really do
Thank you.
believe that. It's got a little bit of something for everyone, and it's got a lot of bit of something for me. So I just think it's so
Thank
great.
you.
And listen, those Kellys, man, I said this on my video. I don't know what kind of water you guys are drinking, but give it to me. I need some because you guys are talented as hell. So I need some of that. So but Kristen, thank you for coming to hang with me and talking a little bit about your story and sharing you know, stories of your career and all that stuff and talking about the Warrior album. I think it's fantastic. And I'm so glad that it's out there, and I'm so glad that everyone gets to hear your voice. So thank you again for coming to hang with me.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you for everything that you do supporting country music. And you know, it's folks like you that keep us going and keep us inspired. And thanks to all the fans,
Yeah.
because we wouldn't be able to do what we do if it wasn't
That's right.
for, you know, people wanting to hear it.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you this, that I do this and I love it, but the only reason why I do this is because I'm a fan first. So, that's you know, that's I love country music. That's all I'll say. Let's just put it at that. But thank you for tuning
Same.
in to another episode of the Remember Country Music podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to podcasts. You can get it literally anywhere. I don't care where you listen. You can find it. So just look. It's there. I promise. Thank you for tuning in. Like I said before the episode, we just passed 200 episodes, and it's kind of amazing and a little crazy. And I don't really know why everyone keeps coming back and listening, but I am more than blessed that I get to sit here and talk about it. So if nothing else, here's to another 200 episodes of country music. And that's all I can ask for. But thanks for tuning in. I'm Kyle. That's Chris and Kelly. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.